That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.
Human females are one primate species who do not show physiological signs of ovulation. Since the 70s and 80s, scientists believed this was to optimize male-to-female interaction. However, recent research suggests it is actually to reduce competition with other human females. To find out more, Monday Wire host Zoe Larson-Cumming spoke to PhD student Scott Klassens, who alongside his prominent female colleagues participated in this research.
But this research came from work that I was doing when I was working at Arizona State University.
So you've been researching why human females don't show physical symptoms of ovulation. How did you come to be immersed in this field of study?
This isn't my normal area of expertise. Yeah, I mentioned when I was working in Arizona back in 2017, I basically got a funded internship to work there, and that was great. I went to the university, I did some teaching, worked in the psychology department there, and they had a bunch of different projects going on, one of which was related to this work on female ovulation in humans. And I was basically just helping out kind of as a student researcher, and finally after many years it got published last week.
Previously, it was thought that females hid their ovulation from males, but this research suggests that isn't the case. What's changed, and why did we think that in the past?
The whole question of this paper is why human females don't reveal their ovulation physiologically in the same way that other primate species do. So if you think of like baboons, for example, when the females are ovulating, it's very clear that they are ovulating because they have these, like, you know, you think of the red bums, right? They have these massive red swellings to show the males that they're ovulating. But you don't find that in humans. And so that's been a puzzle for a long time. So in the, as you said, in the 70s and 80s, when people first started talking about this and asking why humans don't show their ovulation, the main explanation was what we call the male investment hypothesis. So the idea there is by hiding your ovulation, the males have to invest in females all the time across the entire cycle because they just don't know when the females are most likely to get pregnant. And so that was kind of the primary explanation for a long time. It kind of went untested. It was just kind of assumed in the literature to be the explanation.
And so what's happened now? What do we think now?
Well, the new paper that we published is kind of a new theory that's based more on female-female interactions, more so than male-female interactions. We try and push that possibly it could be that human females are hiding their ovulation not because of males, but actually because they're trying to hide it from other females. The idea is that female-female competition can be very high around ovulation. So obviously, when one female is ovulating, they're a threat, right, in terms of mating success and things like that. And so there can be quite a lot of indirect competition that goes on around that time. And so in order to effectively avoid that, it can be adaptive to essentially hide or obvious cues, physiological cues of ovulation.
How much of a role do these subconscious animal instincts play in our daily lives today, even when we're more aware of what's happening as research and technology progresses? How relevant are these still today?
It's an interesting question. I mean, you know, we're trying to ask questions about the ancestral human state. So, you know, a long time ago and how evolution worked over many, many years. But no, I think they still play some role today. I mean, the fact that we don't see obvious signs of obvious physiological outward signs of ovulation in females, that's got to be related in some way to our evolutionary past. But I think that they do still play some small role. I mean, when I say that human ovulation is concealed in humans, that's not quite right. Like, there is some research showing that there are still some subtle signs, it's just much reduced. So There's research showing that males and female humans will be able to detect like very subtle hints of ovulation in their partners, and so those have their root in something evolutionary, and so yeah, they would matter even today.
How did you go about this research? I imagine it's quite difficult to study.
Yeah, well, essentially, this hasn't really been studied that much. There's been some comparative work. What we try and argue in the paper is that the male investment hypothesis that I described was just kind of assumed and kind of went untested. And so, you're right, like, it is difficult. We don't have access to the ancestral human state, right? There's no way of knowing how things actually were back then. So we have to come up with these, like, different ways of testing these hypotheses. So what we did is we used computational modeling. So essentially, we used a technique called agent-based modeling. So I was sat at my computer, and I had these simulations running of what the ancestral human state would have looked like based on lots of parameters that we carefully went and picked from the literature on small-scale societies and other literature. And so we tried to piece together what male and female individuals would, how they would have behaved in the ancestral human state. So, yeah, we gave these lots of these little agents in the model, all these different decision rules. And then we kind of just set it to run. And so you just run it, and then the males and the females run around, and they interact with each other, and they they mate, and they have children. It's kind of funny. You can actually see it happening in real time on the screen. And so you just set this population going, and then we run it for a certain number of time steps, which works out to around about like 30 years in the model, which is kind of the like birth interval, or the interval in which the females would have been having children. And so we just run it for that amount of time, and then you just see how many children the agents have over that time course, and you give them different strategies. So we program some of the females to be what we called revealers, so they reveal their ovulation at particular times, and some of the strategies were concealers, so they didn't reveal their ovulation. And then we allow the females to compete with one another selectively towards those that are ovulating. And then we find that the revealer strategies do much worse when there's female competition. It's actually the concealers that are winning.
Does birth control have an effect on research like this? Now we've invented and take products which affect periods and fertility.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah, I mean, the work is kind of all theoretical at this point. I was just doing the simulations in my computer, so we weren't actually working with any modern human females. But no, you're right. I mean, birth control and modern technology around the ovulation cycle has completely changed how we view these things. We know a lot more now, and it's much more controlled. So yeah, I'm not sure. I'd have to ask my colleagues if that has changed anything. But yeah, I mean, in general, this kind of more evolutionary work often makes this stark divide between, okay, what we're adapted for, the kind of environment that we're adapted for, and the kind of technology and the environment that we face today. And those can be very different. And so even if we don't physiologically reveal our ovulation, we obviously now with birth control, we know human females know when they're ovulating, and that can be revealed if they want to or not. So it's kind of entirely different.
Hmm. Do you find the work you do on human evolution and the other research humbling at all? Because just reading about it, it's like a reminder of how I really am just an animal hiding my own ovulation.
Do I find it humbling? Yeah, I think so. I think it's important to remind ourselves that we're just animals. We're just another primate species, and you know, we're obviously very different in many ways, many important ways. But still, our evolutionary history has played a massive role into who we are today. And I think by studying that, we can better learn about ourselves. So yeah, it is humbling in a way, and also just to remind ourselves that we're just a part of nature, you know. And so if we do this kind of work, it reminds people that we're just part of the broader many other animals. Then hopefully we can just raise awareness about nature in general and a whole other bunch.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.